She's gonna come take the rest, because after Kiara gets the mic, there's nothing I can do. But this is a song we used to sing when I was growing up. It used to go like this: living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Oh, free me forever. One day he's coming back, one glorious, oh, glorious day. Come on, sis.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins away. Rising, he justified. Free.
Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am so blessed and so glad that God has given us one more day just to give him the glory, give him the reverence, give him the praise. Is there anybody here that is thankful just to be able to be in the fellowship just one more time? Come on, let's bless the Lord, for he has done great things. He has done marvelous. God has been amazing. God has done exceeding and abundantly above all that we could think or imagine. God has been keeping us. God has been holding us. God has been loving us. And I don't know about you, but God is amazing. I know that we just celebrated Thanksgiving and we have so much to be thankful for. If you can just do me a favor, just hold up your hand real fast. And you got five fingers right now. Let's just count out five blessings right now. Number one, he woke you up this morning. That's one blessing there. Number two, you have a roof over your head on this evening at least. That's number two right there. Number three, you got food in the fridge just one more time. Number four, you got your reasonable health and strength. Number five, you got clothes on your back. Let me switch to this side here. You got shoes on your feet. You have your reasonable portion of your health and your strength. That very breath that you just took, that's another reason to bless him. The fact that you were able to celebrate is yet another reason to give God praise. And I don't know about you, but when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed, and I believe I'm in the company of some people on this evening who can say that they are blessed. They have a testimony. Come on, let's bless the Lord because he has done great things for us. He has done marvelous things for us. We serve a more awesome God. We serve a great God. We serve a wonderful, a mighty, a marvelous, a matchless God from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. God is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Let's bless the Lord on this evening. Let's bless the Lord on this evening. Let's go to God in prayer right now. God, our Father, we come to you right now, God, and we just thank you, God. We thank you, God, for the moment that we're able just to assemble, just to call upon your name, God. God, we want to take this moment, God, just to lift up your name, God, for the great things that you've done, but just, God, for just the greatness and who you are, God. God, you are everlasting, God. God, you are mighty. You are awesome, God. God, we thank you, God, for the great works. We thank you, God, for the ability, God, just to be in a right relationship with you now. And so, God, right now, God, we ask you right now that you remove any distraction, that you remove anything that's trying to stop us from giving you the glory, the reverence, and the praise that is due to you, oh God. God, we come to worship you in spirit and truth, God. So right where we are right now, God, we transform our living rooms, we transform our office spaces, we transform our couch area, we transform our bedrooms, wherever we are at right now, God. God, we transform them right now, God, and allow them to be our sanctuary on this evening, God, that you may enter in, that you will have your way, God, that you will be lifted up, God. And you said, God, when the blessing, when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. So let's rejoice, let us be renewed, let us be revived, let us be realigned and be in a right relationship with you. We ask for all these things, your son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Let all of God's children be together say amen, amen. And amen. On this evening, we're gonna begin this evening, y'all, with our scripture on this evening. Today's our scripture for this evening will come from the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to Luke chapter 17 and beginning at verse 11. The gospel according to Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, and I'm coming from the English Standard Version, the English Standard Version. And the word of God reads, on the day or on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. The word of God for the people, God, blessed be the name of our Lord. We're going to continue to rejoice and continue to be in the worship and the fellowship. And we're going to come with a song on this evening called God Is Good. Is there anybody here that can testify and say that God is good? Amen. Amen. Here we go, y'all.
He's good on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Saturday and Sunday. And you know what? He's good right now. I believe you ought to put your hands together and testify to the fact that my God is good. Anybody know he's good? And he's good right now. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I mean, that God is good. That's one of my all-time favorite songs. There's nothing like taking it back home to a good stomp and clap and just know and just talk about God being good. I mean, I'm talking about from the moment that you wake up throughout the whole day, even when you are at night and you have closed your eyes, we serve a God who never slumbers nor sleeps, which allows us to get the rest that we need, that allows us to not worry, to not have any trouble, to not worry, to not allow the anxiety to allow it to take over us, because we put our hope and our faith and our trust and our love and everything that we have in God's hands. Because when we put things in God's hands, God can do more in his hands than it is in our hands. God can do amazing things when we put everything in his hands. Put your family in his hands. Put your situations in his hands. Put your job in his hands. Put your health in his hands. Put your finances in his hands. And while you're at it, go ahead and put yourself in his hands while you are at it. Because when you are in his hands, he will cover you. When you are in his hands, he will keep you. When you're in his hands, he will saturate you with his love and compassion. And so while you're at it, just give God a love offering. Give God just a way just to say, thank you, Lord, for always being good. It may not always make sense. I may not always understand the plan, God, but God, I trust you because I trust that you know what's best for me. Because you know what's best for me and for my life, God, I'm going to trust you every step of the way. I'm going to trust you on a Sunday. I'm going to trust you on my Monday, my Tuesdays and my Wednesdays, my Thursdays, my Fridays, my Saturdays, and my Sundays. Because God, you are good. Somebody say, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. And so right now, we're going to come to you real fast, just a couple of announcements, and then we're going to keep on with the worship, y'all. And so what we want to share with you at Redeemed Faith Church, I want to first give some love to the board of directors of Redeemed Faith Church. You will have an opportunity in the coming weeks to get to know our board, but I'm so grateful for our board because they have worked so hard and first accepting the call to serve, but not only that, just to be able to help us lay the foundation for what Redeemed Faith Church is all about. It's about community. It's all about love. It's all about just supporting one another. And so you're going to be meeting them in a few weeks. I can't wait for you all just to meet them and for them just to share some of the great things that we're doing at Redeemed Faith Church. But I want to share some of these quick dates with you while we're at it. So tonight, November 30th, is our Sunday evening worship. On Thursday, December 11th, Thursday, December 11th, I need you to mark your calendar down. December 11th will be our first of two Bible studies for the month of December. December 11th at 7 p.m., we're going to be back in our virtual sanctuary, all right? And then on Saturday, mark this date down, Saturday, December the 20th at 9 a.m., we're going to call it Breakfast, Burnt Toast, Toast, and Bible. I got to give a shout out to one of our board members who came up with that creative name, Breakfast, Burnt Toast and Bible. We're going to be diving into the Word of God yet again. We're going to go Thursday, December 11th, and Saturday, December the 20th. All right? Those will be our two Bible study dates. All right? I want you to mark your calendar down. On December 25th, we're going to have a community service event that will be announced very shortly. And then on New Year's Eve, December 31st, we're going to have a New Year's Eve service at 6 p.m., 1 hour long. Just 1 hour, y'all, just to bring in the new year and just to celebrate what how God has kept us through this year and the plans that he has for us going into 2026, all right? Last but not least, if you have not, make sure that you download our church app. That's where you will get our latest information, our upcoming events. We have a prayer wall. We also upload sermons. And so go to our website at redeemfaithchurch.org and go to download our app so you can make sure that you stay connected with Redeem Faith Church. All right? Amen. So after the next election, from the sermon preparation, I'm going to come back for a quick meditation moment. And our focus on tonight is going to be speaking to incurable situations. Speaking to incurable situations. While we are on this theme of Thanksgiving, and we celebrated Thanksgiving this past week, I don't know about you, but I never have enough. I never stopped just thanking God just for all that he has done in our lives. And so this next song says, "Tell God thank you." Tell God thank you by the Chicago Mass Choir. Chicago Mass Choir.
Simple worship song.
Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. When I was in trouble, you rescued me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say thank you.
Let us go to God in prayer. God, our Father, we come to you right now just to thank you. We thank you, God, for this moment just to worship you in spirit and truth. God, we thank you for allowing us to gather as a people, God, to lift up your name. Now, God, give us a word, God. Speak now, God, that will lift us up, that will encourage us, that will allow us, God, to walk by faith and not by sight. Allow us to look to the light, God, even when darkness tries to appear and invade our spiritual life, God. God, cover us and keep us, God. We wait now, God. Have your way, God. Allow me to decrease as you increase. Allow your people, God, to hear all of you and none of me, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let all God's children together say, amen. Speaking to an incurable situation. It's easy to give God thanks when things are going well. But let's be real, life can be lifing at times. Life can come at you and before you know it, you find your mind occupied with just trying to survive. Bills keep flowing, but the money is drying up. Relationships lead to brokenness and dark places. People use you to their benefit and then discard you when you're done. When they're done, it feels like you've been praying for a breakthrough, but can't catch a break at all. Family trauma and drama is drowning you and you feel isolated. You feel like you're on autopilot and you wake up driving traffic, overloaded at work. You drive home in traffic, and by the time you get in, you just want to go to bed, but it starts all over again. Going through the motions of life with situations you thought you would get out of, you would overcome, you would make it through, can find you in a place of acceptance, because after a while, you feel like your situation is incurable. You look at that problem that was once minuscule, and now it has become a mountain. You look at that relationship that was once promising, and yet you feel like you are stuck forever in your needs not getting met. You look at your finances, and it feels like you will be forever in debt with no chance of achieving the American dream. You look at your health, and you feel like that this is the end of the road. Incurable situations, incurable thoughts, incurable relationships, incurable outcomes are drenched with hopelessness, saturated with darkness, hovered with storm clouds, and locked up in a pit with no light. But the good news is that even when things seem incurable, there is a hope when it's all said and done. And that hope is filled when God steps in. In this 17th chapter of Luke, in verses 11 through 15, there are 11 key players, one being Jesus, and the other 10 are lepers. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem in preparation for the crucifixion, but he's traveling along the border of Samaria and Galilee. He's going into the village where he is met with 10 men who have the disease of leprosy. After they get to a certain distance from Jesus, they pause. Leprosy, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, as a teaching moment, it was a disease in the Bible that was known as an incurable disease. So when the lepers approach Jesus after a certain distance, they stop, and the Bible says they shout or they yell out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Historically, and according to the law, the lepers were told to call out unclean continuously, but when they encountered Jesus, he changed their vocabulary and language. Let me say that again. Prior to encountering Jesus, the lepers, all they could announce was saying that they were unclean, because according to the law, anyone who was unclean could not be approached. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, instead of the lepers yelling unclean, they yell out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I want to pause and let someone know that your approach and your acknowledgement to Jesus is just as important as to what you are asking him to do for you. In other words, when you asking something for Jesus, you need to make sure that you change your approach and change how you acknowledge him. Jesus sees them and he says to the lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. Now remember, they had been diagnosed with leprosy, the incurable disease, the disease that cannot be cured. But when Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest," the lepers are cleansed. It doesn't say that they took a bath. It doesn't say that they received some amoxicillin. It doesn't say that they held a ritual before going to see the priest. All the Bible says is that Jesus spoke, the lepers moved, and they were cleansed. And from that, there are some takeaways I want you to just lift up on this evening. Number one, when Jesus speaks the word, it is the word that breaks barriers. When Jesus speaks the word to an incurable situation, it is the word that breaks barriers. Leprosy, again, was a disease in the Bible that was incurable. The lepers were considered, my brothers and sisters, the outcast, and they had to live outside of the community, away from everyone else. The lepers, according to the law, were to keep a distance to prevent contamination. And the lepers were to keep their distance and only see the priest when there was evidence of a change in their condition. The lepers separated because of their disease. They will never be healed. They will live this for the rest of their life. They had to be separated from community. They were considered the outcast, and they could not see the priest unless they were healed. These lepers, my brothers and sisters, were Samaritans, and Jesus was a Jew. And you know the word of God, Samaritans and Jews were never to be in the same vicinity. But isn't that like Jesus? To encounter people who may not be like him, but is willing to approach them in order to encourage them and to help them and to heal them and to provide a miracle for them. This is not the first time that Jesus encountered a Samaritan. There was a woman at the Samaritan woman. You know the story. You know that the woman told Jesus, if you knew who I was, you would not be happy. Think of me as well. And Jesus responded, if you knew who I was, you will be offering me a drink at this time. And then the story goes that she began to confess, to share herself, and to share everything she was going through. And Jesus healed her at that moment. And she said and declared, the true worshipers worship me in spirit and in truth. So Jesus, with these 10 lepers, uses the word to break barriers, to tear down walls. The word with false lies that society say that we cannot cross. It's the word of God that will tear down the walls that we build up. It's the word of God that will give bridges that allows the path and land to land. It's the word of God that will bring light to dark situations. It's the word of God that is more inclusive and not exclusive. The word of God, my brothers and sisters, does not care if you are a Democrat or a Republican. The word of God does not care if you are male or female. The word of God does not care if you are born or white. The word of God does not care if you are rich or poor. The word of God does not care if you are sick or healthy. The word of God does not care if you are sex or same sex. The word of God will tear down the people in order to reach you. And the question I have for someone this evening is, what barriers are stopping you from the word of God working in your life? What barriers are existing around you, in front of you, stopping the word of God from being worked and executed and manifesting in your life? The word of God, also my brothers and sisters, when Jesus speaks, the word ought to activate obedience. When the word is spoken to incredible situations, it ought to activate obedience. The only instructions that we know from the priests were live outside the community. Keep your distance while being approached. And you can only see us when there's evidence of your healing. Let me say it again. The only instructions that the priest gave to the lepers were this: live outside the community, keep your distance when being approached, and you can only see us when there is evidence of your healing. This was a national law, so everyone knew what the expectation was. Let me encourage somebody on this evening, say your obedience is always tied to allegiance or authority. Your obedience is always tied to allegiance of authority. The lepers acknowledged Jesus as master, which can help us understand they knew who Jesus was capable of not only doing, but they knew the divinity he possessed. They acknowledged him as master, Which means, again, they knew what Jesus was not only but only capable of doing. They knew the divinity he possessed. True and authentic obedience is about following because we choose to, not because we are forced to. True and authentic obedience is about following because we choose to, and not because we are forced to. Jesus spoke the word, and their follow through had to be filled with action. Speaking God's word is for your encouragement, but working out God's word generates your strength. It's like a person like myself, if I can be transparent, always seeking to get healthy, talking to a nutritionist, setting up a workout plan, purchasing a gym membership. But until I put one weight on the bar, until I clock in some minutes after walking, until I make a conscious decision to go to the grocery store and cook, it is all lip service. That's all it is. Until you put some action behind what you believe, all it is unfulfilled potential. The word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we quote that and we say that. But the question is, are you going to do all things through Christ who strengthens you and me? We want God to move on our behalf when we are in need of a blessing. We want God to move when we are in need of getting out of a situation. We want God to move on our behalf when we are searching for a miracle or a breakthrough. But God just wants us to move when he says move. God wants our legs to move when he says go. And while we are looking for God to do something, while we just sit and wait, God is saying your blessing is in action, because faith is not just believing, it is doing. James says it this way, faith without works is dead. And so finally, when Jesus is speaking to an incurable situation, when Jesus speaks to the leper situation, what happens is he tells them you need to trust the process and the progress. When Jesus is speaking to the incurable situation, he's saying you have to trust the process and the progress. Here it is. Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. The lepers already have one mandate from the priest. Don't show up until you are healed. Now, while the Bible does not give a specific time, we can draw a conclusion that they have conceded that this is their destiny in life, that they are stuck with this disease forever, and they got to deal with it. But when Jesus shows up, they change their posture from a physical perspective and a spiritual perspective. Jesus gives them two steps in the process. Number one, go. Number two, show. Number one, go. Number two, show. The power of the word that the lepers have witnessed before is now meeting them face to face. Just because they were outcast, they were away from the community, does not mean that they could not see what was going on from afar. Remember, they called him master, but how would they know that Jesus is master unless they have already witnessed some of the power that Jesus had already demonstrated somewhere else? The lepers knew that what Jesus could do because they already were witnesses from afar. So I believe that they made up in their minds, if Jesus can do it for them over there, there is hope that if he just comes close to me, he can deliver me. I just want to encourage somebody on this evening. Don't be discouraged if God is blessing your neighbor. Because the good news is that if he is in your vicinity, it's only a matter of time before God meets you face to face. I believe that they believe in the change before they saw the change, with the hope that the outcome would confirm the change that they believed in. Let me say it again. They believed in the change, which is why they approached Jesus before they saw the change, the miracle that was to happen in their life, with the hope that the outcome would confirm what they believed in the first place. I say this from time to time to time. Sometimes you got to see it from a spiritual perspective before you see it from the physical perspective, or you won't see it at all. It has to manifest and believe in your spirit before it happens in your physical vision, or it will never come to pass. But watch this. Not only did they follow the process, there is documentation in the progress. The Bible does not say they were cleansed when they got to the priest. The Bible says they were cleansed as they were going to the priest. It's one thing if they were cleansed if they got to the priest. It's another thing when the Bible says they were cleansed as they were going to the priest. Because here it is, if they were cleansed when they got to the priest, then the priest would have taken credit for the miracle. But the Bible says they were cleansed as they were going. And so what happens is, as they are being cleansed, the progress is being documented. I want someone to understand this on this evening that sometimes your breakthrough, your deliverance, your way out, your blessing may not always be tied to an instant gratification. It may be tied to through a process, and all you need to do is be encouraged by the progress. Because the Bible says, as, it encourages me that over their journey, they were being cleansed. Every step they took, cleansing was taking place. And I just want to take a moment and encourage somebody. I know that life is a journey. Life can have a way that can make you feel defeated and distraught and give up. But understand, it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And God is taking you and I through a process. And all we got to do, if we trust the process, we can document the progress. And when the progress is being documented, my brothers and sisters, you can praise God in the midst of it. And here is the most exciting part of this story. Your progress is not being witnessed just by you. It is being witnessed by others. While they are going to the priest, they are being healed. And mind you, as they are being healed, people are able to watch their healing manifest in the process, which then allows them and encourages them, whatever they are going through, there is hope that if God and Jesus can heal the incurable diseases, God can take care of me and my situation. If God can do it for them, then he can do it for me. And that is the good news, and that's why we seek God even in our dire straits, even in our most uncomfortable situations, even when it seems dark, even when it seems like we can't make it, even when it seems like life is taking us to a bottomless pit, God has a way of lifting us up. God has a way of turning us around. God has a way of bringing light to dark situations, to dark places, into dark relationships, and God will get the glory because he can do what no man can do. I'm just reminded of this story as I get ready to end. This thing when I was growing up in elementary school, it was called show and tell. And what show and tell was, you were able to bring something that had meaning to you. It could be an object. It could be a trophy. It could be a blanket. It could be a special toy, a teddy bear, your favorite shirt, favorite shoes. You were to bring that item, and when it was your time, you were to tell what that item meant to you. That item had a story. And so after you told the story about that item and what it meant to you, then the class could ask questions about the story and about the item. And I just want to take a moment and say that every now and then, God gives us opportunities to show and tell about the great things that he has done in our lives. God gives us opportunities to show and tell how he made a way out of nowhere. He gives us opportunities to show and tell how he healed our body. He gives us opportunities to show and tell how we went from the guttermost to the utmost. God gives us opportunities to show and tell how he healed me from the broken relationships. God gives us opportunities to show and tell how he picked us up. God gives us opportunities to show and tell when the doctor said there was no more that they could do. God gives opportunities to show and tell when our children come back from the world. God gives opportunities to show and tell when relationships are healed, when broken hearts are mended. God gives us opportunities to show and tell, even when we were in the darkest of dark places, when we felt like we could not overcome. God gives us opportunities to show and tell. And so when they go to the priest, they tell them, we've been healed. And there'll be a part two to this. And I'm going to come back to you and share what happens after they go to the priest. And they share what happens. They share about what happens to their bodies. They share about the healing that take place. There is a part two. But for right now, I want to encourage somebody to show and tell the great things that God has done for you in the situations that you thought he could not touch, in the situations that you thought you would not make it through, in the situations that you thought it was over. Let us go to God in prayer. God, our Father, we come to you right now. And we lift up your name on high. Because, God, you've been so good to us. You've been so gracious to us. God, we love you and we thank you. God, we just want to give your name the glory and the reverence right now. God, right now, God, there are some of us right now on this line, God, who is in need of a breakthrough. God, sometimes it just seems like God is not going our way. It feels like that every time, God, we take one step forward, there are 10 steps back. But God, we are going to hold on to you, God, because God, we've seen you work in the lives of others. God, we've seen you work in our lives in times past, God. But God, even right now, God, we are in need, God. God, some of us are in need of healing. Some of us are in need of deliverance. Some of us are in need to be freed in our minds that we are able to overcome. We are able to break through. We're able to push forward. We're able to be lifted up. We are able to fight on. We are able to keep standing, God, when life tries to knock us down. God, we ask you right now that you would take the time, God, to work on us, God. Work on us, God, as we seek a right relationship with you, God. God, make us right, God. Heal us, God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. God, renew into us a right spirit, God. God, restore the joy of our salvation, God. God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for what we have. We thank you, God, for family. We thank you, God, for blessings. We thank you, God, for covering and for keeping us, God. And God, right now, God, we just wait in anticipation, God, for the great things that are in store for us, God. God, we thank you for allowing us to gather just on this evening, God, to realign ourselves, God, the week that is coming ahead, God. God, we don't know what is waiting for us on this week, but God, we know that you are walking through us in this week. God, we don't know what tests and trials may be awaiting us on this week, God, but God, we know who will fight with us through our tests and our trials on this week. God, we don't know what the enemy is trying to plan for us on this week, God, but God, we know that through you, we have a blueprint to defeat the enemy, God. God, we have the strength to fight. God, we have the strength to knock out. God, we have the strength to win. So keep us, love us, saturate us, cover us, God. God, be with our world. Be with our leadership right now, God. Be with our churches right now, God. God, be with those who don't have a home. Be with those who are incarcerated. Be with our children right now. Be with relationships. Be with spouses. Be with husbands and wives, God. God, be with those who are single. Be with those, God, who are calling upon your name. God, we love you, and we thank you, and we bless you. And now, God, we come to you now, God, for the benediction, God, the covering that will keep us ahead on the week. May the Lord bless us and may the Lord keep us. May the Lord allow his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and be gracious unto us. And all of our going outs and our coming ins, from this day forward, even forevermore, let all God's children together say amen, amen, and amen. Going, guys, go in peace with God. Go walk with God. Go love on God. Go and share. Go show and tell the world about the great things that God has done as we close out with our final selection on this evening, y'all. May God bless you and may God's face shine upon each of you. Amen and amen.
To let the world know that we're nothing without you, Lord. We've come. just God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Some of us bow down. Some of us bow down. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you.
Have a good night, everybody.